The Homeland Security Department is running on a one-week continuing resolution after Congress couldn't agree on a long-term spending plan for the agency. The latest CR set to run out on Friday. David Hawkins, a senior editor of Roll Call, he's closely watching the debate over the DHS budget unfold on Capitol Hill, and he joins us now. Hi there, David.
Hi, Jared.
So maybe we should start by gaming out the range of possible options here, because no one's still completely sure how this is going to end. I mean, what are some of the exciting procedural pathways toward getting some kind of appropriations bill passed and signed by Friday?
The exciting procedural pathways. That's great. Well, the next thing that's going to happen is going to happen within the next half an hour, we think, which is that the Senate will take one more procedural vote, which will, I think I can simplify it down to this. It is a procedural vote which, in theory, will allow Democrats in the House to force a vote in the House on what they call the clean DHS bill. In other words, a full-fledged appropriations bill for the Homeland Security Department for the next 6 months that does not have any mention of the president's immigration policies in it. That there are still ways in which, so you would think, okay, so that settles it. The Democrats, there's this quirk in the House rules that would, that depending on the parliamentary situation, allow actually anybody, which means including the Democrats, to call up a bill that has been ping-ponged back and forth and to try and pass it. There are ways for the Republicans to trump that with some sort of procedural vote. At this point, the Republicans are saying they don't think they're going to try and do it that way, but they haven't quite said what they're going to do instead. And as far as we know, the Republican leadership in the House really doesn't have, it's not like the weekend since Friday night when they came up with this one-week extension has given them time to think of an escape hatch here. There really is no escape hatch for the Republicans except to give in to the president and the Democrats on this immigration language.
Well, the escape hatch for Speaker Boehner in particular might be that, unlike last Friday, the procedure you're describing would give him the ability to allow a vote to happen on a full DHS funding bill without him affirmatively bring it to the floor. Is that about right?
That is about right. That is about right. The question is whether that would be viewed by his, whether that would still be viewed by the conservative base and their band of loyalists in the House, which as of Friday amounted to about 60 Republicans, whether that would still give, whether they'd be willing to go along with that as a way to sort of give Boehner a way out, or whether they would still punish the Speaker for allowing this to happen, and how much of a heartache they would give the Speaker. I mean, there was some talk, which you probably had on your air, going into the weekend about, you know, if Boehner capitulates, in the view, which is the word that the conservatives use, and allows this to happen, his speakership's going to be threatened. Now, as of this afternoon, it seems as though that's a little bit overblown, in part because you can't beat somebody with nobody, and there is nobody in the Republican ranks that could commandeer essentially 90% of the House Republicans, which is what it would take to topple John Boehner as a practical matter.
Right. Well, it seems like the Democrats at least believe, and this is kind of the headline on Roll Call right now on the top of the page, Democrats expect clean DHS bill one way or the other this week. I mean, last weekend, last Friday, they were completely unwilling to go along with a three-week CR. Speaker Pelosi convinced the caucus that voting for a one-week CR was the definite pathway toward, you know, this week getting a full year, full appropriations bill. So clearly, they believe something good's going to happen in terms of DHS funding this week.
They believe that. There was actually some disagreement about, there are some Democrats who said that the Republican leadership, sort of with a wink and a nod, said, don't worry, that's what's going to happen this week. Republican leaders today said, we gave no such wink and a nod. So it's still a bit of a confused situation. But the bottom line is, you know, what I think our story tries to make clear and what you've just said, which is that there is really no other way out. I mean, this is the reality of, you know, of the legislative process, which is the Republicans who want to use this bill to hamstring to overcome the president's executive actions on immigration do not have the votes, and they can't conjure up the votes, and they cannot get their way by using this bill. So giving up is kind of their only option, and then the question is whether after giving up they try and, you know, what they try and do next to punish John Boehner to try and live to fight another day in some other way. We don't know, but I guess I think it is still a possibility that by the end of the week it will not be the full-fledged, what are we now down to, 6 months, March through September,
mm-hmm.
Full-service appropriations bill. The best, it may be the case that DHS gets punished with just a six-month CR. In other words, no new policies, no shifting of priorities, no line-by-line budgeting, but that they are forced to live until the end of this fiscal year with just a CR.
Well, and then I'm probably silly for asking you to lay odds on anything here, but can we relatively safely say that we are the likelihood of an actual shutdown of DHS is lower this week than it was on Friday night?
I think that's true. And I think that the one thing to keep in mind is that about the sort of brinkmanship at the end of the week is this weekend. I mean, every weekend members of Congress have something to do. Plenty of members have something to do. This coming weekend, about one-fifth of Congress, about 100 members of the House and Senate, are expecting to travel to Selma, Alabama, for the 50th anniversary of the famed Civil Rights March down there. So it's 100 members going to one place. It's a obviously historically important moment. It's a politically important moment. It would be, I think, a political problem if it turns out that the Republicans would subject themselves to, quote, playing politics with this and standing, and getting in the way of this historic moment. Republicans are already having enough trouble with African-American voters and with a perception that they're got a deaf ear to civil rights and voting rights. Plenty of them want to get down there and try and correct that impression a little bit.
Let me get to one other piece of political news before we let you go. Of course, the news today was that Maryland Senator Barbara Mikulski announced that she's tired of dialing for dollars, basically, and wants to get out there and do some work where she thinks she would be more effective on the ground. What are your thoughts on her retirement?
Well, I think it is obviously she is a trailblazer in many, many ways. Obviously, for your listening audience, I would hasten to say that she, I think she represents her state. Maryland has as many federal workers as any other state, or
sure.
Right? Am I right? Or maybe Virginia?
I think Virginia beats them a bit, but
Virginia beats them by a bit, but a huge number of federal workers. She is the longest serving woman in congressional history. By the time she leaves, she will have that record beat by about 5 years. She's the only woman who's ever chaired the Appropriations Committee, the only Democratic woman who's ever been in the leadership. But beyond, so a trailblazer on several fronts, but beyond that, in the piece that I'm writing for tomorrow, I say that she's her contribution to Congress goes beyond that, which is I'd say she stands up for sort of old school values at a time when the newcomers have kind of taken over the place. Barbara Mikulski, having been around 40 years, still sticks up for some old school values. Her whole move for regular order in the budget process was important, even though it was limited in success. Her advocacy for younger women in the Senate and putting them together, and that she hosted these monthly dinners for them as a way to sort of bring more collegiality and teamwork and bipartisanship to the place. I think it's a little bit of an unheralded aspect of her career that she railed against bad habits of the Senate. For example, she was the one who got it so that women could wear pants, and quite literally, so that women could wear pants in the Senate in the early 1990s. They had to wear skirts or dresses up until the early 1990s. She got rid of that. But beyond that, she had some, that's an important symbolic thing, but she railed against bad Senate habits, but she also stuck up for sort of the good old days in which collegiality, collaboration, deal cutting, coalition building, regular order, civility were all a part of the mix.
And so, yeah, absolutely. We could definitely herald, her old school traditions. But by that same token, I mean, my gosh, we're losing yet another person who remembers what regular order looks like.
That's exactly right. I mean, with each passing election, fewer and fewer of those. It will also probably mean, for those looking way down the calendar, that the person essentially next in line to be the top Democrat on Senate Appropriations is another person who is a protege of Mikulski's, Patty Murray of Washington, former top Democrat on the Budget Committee, and sort of somebody who has only been around a mere 24 years by the time she would become the top Democrat on Appropriations, but also somebody who remembers what regular order is like, so all is not lost yet.